Okay, data types is the first thing that I have listed under the beginning notes, which we've already done. And that's just to take a look at so that if you need MySQL data types, tells you which ones you can use and what's available as data types. As I told you, SQL is behind all major databases. But there's a few things that are different. For example, in Oracle, you call it VirCare 2. Here, you're calling it VirCare. Variable characters versus characters. Okay? Characters are used if you've got a fixed length. So, for example, the code for a state is always going to be two characters. So it makes sense to make that char. The code for majors here is two characters. So it makes sense to make that char if you wanted to. Okay, but if it's got a variable size, then you make it a VirCare. And there's a bunch of numerics and there's other things that you can look at. But this list is basically there if you want to go in and choose data types for something. You can go into this list. And there are the numbers down there. And you can go in and check out what is available and how it is used. So that's why I put that on the list. Okay. What we're going to look at is more SQL. Now, I would go ahead and open MySQL with PuTTY and everything so that you can try some of this as we're going through and looking at it. So I would go ahead and bring up so that you can experiment with and try some of this if you want to in PuTTY. If you have taken the Oracle class, go do your homework while I'm talking because this is basically a review. It's basically going over the same things in a more condensed kind of version. But now you can put on your resume that you know both MySQL and Oracle, so that makes it nice. Yes?
Is MySQL open source?
Yes.
Is Oracle SQL open source too, technically?
No.
No. Okay. I was just wondering what the difference was.
Oh, MySQL is... at least claims to be. Okay, so again, remember, you do not have a database making ability, okay? But you do have two databases that you have available to you, which are your username _1 or _2. And you can, you know, out in the real world, payroll would be one database and inventory would be another database, etc. But it really is only because that's more professional, the way the world works. Keep all your payroll together, keep all your inventory together. You can put tables of any kind in your database. So there's really not even any necessity to use two of them. You can put all the tables that you want to create inside one database. And then once you've done that, you can then show the tables. And on this one, I missed putting the semicolon in. So the semicolon is showing up on the next line, and that's fine. It ends it when I put it down on the next line. So you're going to go in, and you're going to say use, and you're going to use one of your databases. And then once you've used the database, then you're going to say, okay, now show me the tables in the database. And it can show you the tables that you have in the database. Okay. Then I can go in and do my create. If I want to create a table, I've got create table, and I called it other table. And I said, okay, first I'm going to create its structure. So you create the structure of the table, and then you add in the data. So I'm saying I want an ID number that is going to be a VARCHAR 4, a name that's going to be a VARCHAR 20, a major that's a VARCHAR 2, but as I just said, you could have made this a character, because major is always two characters. Then I put in number of credits as a small integer, and if you go back and read, and I don't remember what it is, but they will have a limit as to the size you can put in a small integer. Okay, and so whatever I decided that was big enough. And then I have a GPA, and this time I made it float. There's also a double, there's also a decimal, and you can go in and figure that out. Okay, when you look at these, the big thing that you have to read or make sure you know is what these numbers stand for. The 3 at the beginning can stand for the total number, and it can stand for the number of whole numbers in different applications. So it's always good to check. Okay, here I'm assuming that it is 3 characters total, 2 of which are decimal. But again, in different layouts, you can see that as 3 whole numbers, 2 decimal numbers. I've seen that 3 stand for both things. So it's always something to experiment with and find out which one it is. So now I've got it to show the tables, and it's showing the new one that I just created. And eventually this thing is not working correctly, but eventually we'll get there. Okay, so then I did another show tables to make sure that I had that table there, and it's there. And again, we talked about commit, that you can put commit in, and that will speed up or assure the fact that you'll get the data more. Then I said, all right, I want to describe that table. So DESC stands for describe. And DESC shows me the structure that I've set up. Okay, so I go in there and I say, okay, now describe the table. All of this has to do with structure. I have a database. I have a database made up of tables. I've created a table with that structure. And now I'm down looking at a description of the structure in case I've forgotten what I did. Okay, so I've now got the description of the structure. I can also change the table. And again, we're talking now about the structure. We're not talking about data. I can say I want to alter the table, and I tell it the name of the table. And I want to add a field. Okay, so I'm now adding a field called advisor, that will be 20 characters, and now if I do a DESC of the table, advisor for 20 characters is now included. Okay, there are a lot of clauses on the alter. I've gone over a few of them in this particular handout, but there are a lot of others. So again, if you want to do something, go look up the alter structure and make sure you look it up from MySQL, and you can figure out how else you want to alter it. Down here, I did an alter where I increased the size. It's 20 characters, name is 20 characters. I want to make it 25. I found a name that I needed more room for, so I'm now modifying it to get me 25 characters. Okay, so I can add a column, I can modify one by changing the length and that sort of thing. And then I've got the drop, so I can drop a column. So if I decide I really didn't want the advisor after all, I can go in and drop column advisor. And as I said, there are other alters as well. I gave you the main three, which is add one, modify one, and drop one. Okay, and that's the main things you need to be able to do. But again, these are all done with the alter. The alter has nothing to do with data. It has to do with structure. Okay, so a table has got structure, and a table has got data. And the alter is dealing with the structure. Now, when you change the structure, obviously you may end up messing up the data. But or changing data, if you've got data in the table. But you are actually working on the structure of the table. Okay. Now I'm finally getting down to putting data in the table. And so I'm saying insert, and I am putting these records into the table. Now I ended up doing this all in one line with the values up here. Frequently, I do the insert into, and then I put values on the next line. Just because it seems to be more structured. But it doesn't make any difference. And my goal here is mainly to get the data in. So this is now adding the data to the table, and I've now got all of these records in the table. So now I'm going on, and once I've got the data in the table, I can work with the data. And so I'm saying here, show me everything in the table. Select asterisks from the table, and that shows me everything in the table. And then I can put criteria on the table. So I'm saying where majors equals CI and either number of courses is greater than 25 or GPA is greater than 3.5. Okay? And again, this is that structure where I'm saying it's got to have a major of CI and either of the other two things. The parentheses are there because ands are resolved before ors. And how would this be resolved if I left out the parentheses?
It would be a CI major and number of courses of players greater than 24 or have a GPA of 3.5.
Right. So anybody with a GPA greater than 3.5 would show up no matter what their major was. Okay? So the parentheses are there because I want the or to be resolved first. So I want it to be CI and either. And frequently the parentheses can be read as either. And either number of courses or GPA, yeah.
So when you have parentheses, that's the giveaway of either, right?
It frequently is. I don't want to make that statement as 100%, so I always add the frequently.
Right.
But frequently, it is CI and either, at least with this structure of I'm putting an or inside the parentheses, then it's definitely the either. When if you look inside the parentheses, you see the or, then you know it's either one of those. Okay? And the main thing is you just have to remember that ands get resolved before ors. And if you want to change that, you need parentheses. Okay? Now, this could also have been written. How else could this statement have been written? Without parentheses, how could I have written this?
Line by line?
Kind of, but I need more than that. Give me the whole where clause.
you declare each variable, right?
I need more. You're giving me cryptic. I need a full. Okay, so if I had CI and what? Somehow I'm making this seem hotter than it is. And I've also lost the ability to write over there. So CI and number of credits greater than 24, or
CI,
exactly, and GPA greater than 3.5. That would work as well. Because I'm saying I want CI and's are resolved before ORs, so it groups those. Then OR, and that part gets grouped. And so it's this or this. Okay, now most people resist the idea when they're doing this of repeating the same tests. And so they like the parenthesis better because then you're not saying major CI twice. So the parenthesis is a little cleaner way of doing it. But if you write CI and this or CI and that, ands get resolved, so those two get grouped, and it's either this group or that group. And I probably shouldn't be using the group word because group means something else. But they get put together. Okay. Okay. Are you going to let me get out? I guess you have let me out. All right. My fault. Now, there are a whole lot of functions in SQL, and you can go and look those up as well, but one of them is converting uppercase. So I can say where the uppercase version of major equals CI. And what that's going to do for me is if somebody enters a lowercase thing there, it converts it to uppercase and I get the match. So if my data entry is lousy and people are entering lowercase instead of uppercase, then I can check for that by saying take the major for this test. This isn't going to do anything to the data. But for this test, convert the major to uppercase and compare it to CI. Okay, and that's a good way to do it if your data entry is not up to par. Okay, if people have been entering data in and you see that sometimes the major is in lowercase, sometimes it's in uppercase, this is a good way to check for that. Okay. And down below, I did it just to do it and said it's the uppercase version of major equals the uppercase version of CI. In fact, I wouldn't do that because if it's a literal, I've got my CI literal. I don't have to say the uppercase version of a lowercase CI. That's kind of bizarre. But I just was showing you that I can do it. Okay? And obviously there's a lowercase and all of the rest of it. So there's a whole load of functions that go with this. The concatenate lets you concatenate two things together. So I can actually have a concatenate and say I want to concatenate name and major. And it will then concatenate them as one field. So you can see there's no space between the name and the major. Embedded spaces in the name aren't affected. I'm actually not sure I took a picture of that.
And then on this one, I said I wanted the average GPA. Now, this is a different kind of function. The functions that we've been looking at above act on each record. So this function is acting on each record. This is a group function that is acting on all of the data in this case, because I don't have any where clause in there. So it's acting on all of the datas. So I'm saying I want the average GPA. So it's going in and giving me the average. It's not doing a showing me a average for the record, because that would be, there is no average for the record. Okay, it's averaging all of the GPAs up and giving me the average. So if you look up above, you can see the GPAs. It's looking at all of those, and the average is 3.23333, whatever. Okay? So there are two categories of functions with SQL. There are functions that act on individual records and act on all of the records. And there are functions that act on a group of records. Okay? And there's an important distinction, obviously. So the uppercase one acts on every record. The concatenate acts on every record. The average acts on just that group record. And there's another one for sum, and there's a bunch of group functions. And again, if you do a search on it, you'll come up with the group functions list, and you'll come up with a list of individual functions. Okay. Questions? And here's one with a whole bunch of group functions where I said, give me the sum, give me the count, give me the max. So I'm going in and doing that. Okay, select now. Just got me the date. Somebody that's got this up, what do you get when you type that in? Pardon me? Right, but you only get it once. So what dual is when you're doing a select, you have to have a from clause. If you put the from clause and then you put the name of the table, like I did up here, it is giving me it for every single record. It's doing it for all the records. Okay? If I just want to see today's date for some reason, and I don't want to see it for all the records, dual is kind of a dummy table out there that is created by MySQL or Oracle or whoever that has just nothing in it. And so if I say from that table, there's only one record in it, and as I recall, the one record has one field, and so it has nothing in it, basically, except a structure that lets you say, I want to see this once. So select now from dual means I'm only going to see it once. Okay. So if you want to test how something works, and you don't need a table to test it, you want to kind of test some piece of information you're doing, and we'll get to more examples where that's realistic as we're going along, and you just want to test it, from dual is a good way of testing to see if, you know, you might be taking and doing a substring of something and combining it with something else and literals and all the rest of it. And if you just want to experiment with what results would be, then you can say from dual. And that is a dummy table that has only one record, and I believe it has one field in the record. Okay. Yes.
Instead of using now, can we do it by putting dates?
What do you mean?
Like, if there's a data that we put by dates, we can use dates instead of now, like previous dates or something?
Yeah, now gives me the date for right now.
Right.
So when I did this, I apparently did this in 2010 on February 23rd at 20 hours, 5 minutes, and 1 whatever. Okay, so that's what I did. And if I had enough records there, I might have even got lucky enough to have the second change or something. But anyway, so that's what that was for. But if the date is in the system, you're just using it as a date. I mean, if the date, rather, is on the data.
So same syntax?
If it's on the data, I'm just going to print it out. Maybe I'm not understanding your question, but if there is data on the table that includes the date, I can just click out the date field, and there's a whole lot of functions. There's also a load of functions having to do with date. So I can extract the month, I can extract the year, I can extract the day, I can convert the month in numbers to a word month, I can do all those kinds of things. And I don't think I particularly have any examples of those because they're very specialized. But if you want to play with the date, you know, look up date functions in MySQL and you'll see a whole load of them out there. Okay, this one I'm using the length function. Or actually, if you go up above, I didn't talk about this one. This one uses the sum, the count, and the maximum. And so I've got the number of credits. The sum of number of credits is 138. The count of how many majors is 6. And the maximum GPA is 3.6. Okay. Then on the one down at the bottom of the page, I select name and length of name. So Susan Ash is 9 characters. Linda French, 12 characters, so I'm getting the length of the name. Okay. So on this one I said select my major, count of major, from other table, group by major. Okay. That group by clause we're going to stop and look at. If you look back at the ones that I put up here where I said, give me the sum, give me the count, it basically did it for all records. If I don't tell it otherwise, it does it for all records. So I'm getting the count of all records, I'm getting the sum of all records, I'm getting the max of all records. But sometimes I want to get it for a particular group. And so I can do it this way, where I can say, I want to see the major, the count of the major, from other table, and I want to group by major. So that means, first of all, group by major means it's going to look and put all of the BU majors together, all of the CI majors together, however it's doing it. It may be not putting them together. It may be just running through and counting as it goes. It's got its own algorithm, whatever it is. But the result is going to be, if I say group by major, and I've only got two majors, then all of the BU majors are going to be in one group, and all of the CI majors are going to be in another group. Okay? So I said group by major. Now, the general rule for SQL is that the field that I put here, because I'm putting an individual field, should be the same field that I'm grouping by. Because if I put up there, select name, major, etc., then for CI, which has five CI majors, what name is it going to select? Okay? I want you to try that if you have something that you can try it on. Because my SQL, I think, basically is not as good on this as most of them are. And it lets you get away with having a field up there that is not the field that you group on. But the general rule for SQL is that you can't just put an extraneous field up there if you're grouping. You can put the name of the group so I see the CI or the BU. But if I put somebody's name there and say, show me name, comma, major, then which of the five names is it going to show? It's going to show the first one that it encounters or something. So did anybody try that and get those results? Okay. So that's my complaint about my SQL. And the reason I said is I didn't think to try it when I was looking at these. But there's always the chance that things will get fixed. Okay, it wants another battery. There'll be a slight pause while I give us a new battery. And add to my collection of used batteries over there. So if you haven't had a chance to try it, you now have got a chance to try it. Okay, it's now recording again. So anyway, I claim you shouldn't be allowed to put name there because the piece of information you get is worthless. That is one of the names in the group will be. So you don't want to do that. The name, if you're going to put a name over here, it should be the name you're grouping by. So I'm getting the major and I'm getting the count of the major. And I'm grouping by major. Okay. Now, I've got two things that I can do. I can add a where clause. So on this one here that I've got up here, I could have added a where clause and said, I want to do this where some other field and put in some kind of a thing there. If I put a where clause in here, it eliminates records as groups are being formed. So again, if you have a table that allows you to do that, go ahead and try putting a where clause on there so that you eliminate a record as the groups are being formed. So you might, you know, depending on what you have there, you could do something like where name not equal to Bob Hill or something like that, so that it will form the group without that record. So I can have a where clause that will do that. Okay, so I can say select major, count major from other table where name not equal to Bob Hill, and that would eliminate one of the CI majors, since I'm guessing Bob Hill is a CI major.
And let me go back up and see where I have the whole record. I think that's the whole record. Okay, so there's the whole record, and apparently Mabel Jones is the BU. So if I said up here, select, and by group I, and where name not equal to Bob Hill, or I could have said where number of credits greater than 20, or whatever. But where will eliminate records as the group is being formed. Okay, so where eliminates records as the group is being formed.
Now, if you look at this next one, select major, counter major from other table, group by major, having some number of credits greater than 20. Okay. Having eliminates or keeps. I usually say eliminates because it gets rid of some things that don't meet the criteria. Eliminates groups. Okay. So the where eliminates records as the groups are being formed. Having looks at the groups that have been formed and can eliminate some of those groups. Okay, so CI had 5 records, so it ends up having apparently a sum of number of credits that's greater than 50. But BU only had 1 record, and so the sum of the number of credits for that group was not greater than 50. Okay? So BU got eliminated. And I really should have probably added in here, show me the sum number of credits as well. But I didn't. And that's just a real key thing. When you're dealing with groups, the difference between having and where is key. Okay. Having eliminates groups after the groups have been formed, and where eliminates records from the group as the groups are being formed. So here is one where I did both of those.
Select major, count major, some number of credits from other tables. Where number of credits is greater than 20, group by major, having some number of credits greater than 50.
Okay, so I'm going to go up and grab the table again. Okay, so there's the table that I have. And so what did it ask? It asked the number of credits. What was the where? Somebody tell me what the where is. Where number of credits is greater than 20. So anything with a number of credits greater than 20 got included in the group. But Susan Ash didn't have a number of credits greater than 20, and Lee Adams didn't. Okay? So those two would have been eliminated from the group. If I'm looking for where number of credits is greater than 20, I'm going to take out that one and I'm going to take out that one, right? Because those two bite the dust. So if I'm trying to get, and what did I ask for? A sum of number of credits. So the sum of number of credits for CI majors is going to be what? 30, 60, 80, 93? Yeah, I think so. So this is going to be 93, and the BU one is going to be 21. Okay, just so that I keep track of what I have there. So I'm saying, and then I said group by major, having the sum number of credits greater than 50. Well, BU only had 21, okay? So BU only had 21. Once I had eliminated the records, BU had 21, CI had 93, back there where I was eliminating records. So now it is saying, okay, group by major, and then it says, but only show the ones where the sum of the number of courses is greater than 50. So therefore, it's only showing CI. It is the having is eliminating that one, because this was the num credit sum. That was the sum of the number of credits. So it is eliminating BU, and I'm only seeing CI. Okay? And it's also showing me the number, and if you remember back when I was doing that, there were only three records for the CI that made the 93, because I eliminated two of the records, and so that's why I got the count of three. Because there were only three left after I eliminated the two records. Questions?
So when you do a group by major, you only group in the major part, right? Or what is that?
Yes, I'm only grouping by major. Now, I can have two clauses there. If I had the right kind of data, I might be able to, for example, have where I group by major and then state within major, because I want to know how many people are from Mass and how many people are from Rhode Island, if I had that information. But at this point, I'm only grouping by one field.
So So you can group by multiple fields.
Yes. Yes, you can. And again, we're spending about 2 weeks on SQL, so we're hitting the highlights. In the Oracle class, we spend, you know, the first half of the semester on SQL, so we get into a lot more detail there. But SQL, if you look at the things people want you to know, SQL is one of the high things on the list of what people want you to know, because it's the brains behind databases. I mean, that's what allows you to go in and get what you want from databases. And as I said before, big data is now making a stand and doing it slightly differently. But that still is major companies only are using big data. You know, Amazon, Google, all those. Okay. This has a substring. Okay, and there's a variety of ways of doing substring. I'm showing you one way here. Later on in my notes, I've got a different way of doing it. So in here, I'm saying I want to select the name, the substring of name, starting from character 3 and going for 4 characters. Okay? So the first thing you have to look at and you have to experiment is, whenever anything says starting at character 3, what you want to know is, does that mean they're counting starting from 0 or they're counting starting from 1? Okay? Because some places in the world of computing start with 0 and some start with 1. And if we look at this one, name from 3, well, starting at 3, 1, 2, 3 gives me an S, which is what's showing up here. 0, 1, 2, 3 would have given me an A, and that's not what's showing up there. So this one is counting starting with a 1. Okay, so I'm saying name from 3 and take 4 characters. So if I start with Susan and S, I get 1, 2, 3 in the space is the 4th character. So I'm getting S-A-N. And I happen to have a lot of 5-digit names there, so I probably should have picked different numbers. But anyway, if you go down to Bob, the B for Bob is the 3rd character. And I'm seeing 4 characters, which means B space H-I. I'm seeing all of those. And this doesn't have to be written with the for and the from. It can be written with commas. So I can just say name 3, 4, which is the way most of the world does it. Okay. This way with commas is the way you see it 99% of the time. It's the way the most of the world does it. But they allow you to use the from and the for as well. Okay, so substring is going to go in and get the characters. And another function that they give you is the in-string function. And the in-string function lets you look for the location of something in the string. So I am saying select GPA and now go into GPA and find out where the dot is. Well, the dot is always the 2nd character, so again, probably not the best example. But it finds the dot for all the records. Okay? And then on the next one going down, I said, okay, now go in and find the space in the name. Okay? So it went and found the space in the name. And again, I apparently am into five character and three character names. Okay. So it located the space. And it's telling me. Now, sooner or later, you are going to get what I give to every single one of my classes, which is a name slip, because I like you to do it in all of the different languages and see how it works. And the name flip, and it will show up in your homework, is going to be, I give you a name, Smith. Well, why don't I actually use one of the names here? The name will have been stored as Ash Sousa, with a slash in between. Okay? So what you have to do is convert that name to Susan Ash. Space Ash. So you have to convert the name to do that.
So in order to do that, you have to know where the slash is located. And so you have to be able to find the slash. And InString lets you find the slash. Okay? So InString lets you locate the slash. And then SubString lets you grab the stuff after the slash, grab the stuff up to the slash, and all of that. So we'll look at this a little bit more when I give you the assignment. But essentially, InString lets you locate the slash.
What's the other one besides InString?
SubString. And SubString lets you take part of the field, which is what you need to do if you're going to convert it. You need to find the slash, take everything after the slash and put it down, put in a space, and then take everything before the slash. And SubString lets you figure out how to do that. Okay, so you need InString and you need SubString in order to be doing that. Okay. Another one that uses, another function that's used is mod. Okay. And basically this is taking and saying, okay, if you have the number of credits and you divide by 2, what is the remainder? Mod is giving you the remainder. So if I have number of credits divided by 2, I get 7 for the remainder of 1. And that's the 1 that shows up over there. Okay? So mod gives you what is left. So if I divide by 5, 15 divided by 5 is the remainder is 0. 27 divided by 5, the remainder is 2. 36 divided by 5, the remainder is 1, etc. So mod gives you the remainder. There's also a function that allows you to format something with 2 decimal places. So those were whole numbers. Now they've got a .00 after it. So I formatted it that way. There's also something that says, select everything out of the table, limit 3. I only want a 3-3 records. Okay, if you have a whole set of criteria and you want to see the first 3 for some reason, you could do it that way. On the whole, I don't really have a lot of occasions where I want to limit what I see. if I put my criteria in there, I want to see everybody that meets the criteria. But it's available. And this I mentioned the last time, but this is something you want to keep in mind. Create a table as, and I said create table, other table two, as, select asterisk from other table. So what does that do for me? It creates a backup. So I'm saying create a table called other table two as a copy, basically, of select asterisks from other table. So that takes my other table that I've worked hard to create and makes me a backup copy. And frequently when I do this, I actually write create table, other table BK at the end for backup. And that gives me select asterisks from other BK, and that gives me the copy. So that if I am doing something and I mess up the table, I've got another copy. And I can go and get it as opposed to having to recreate it. So that's an important thing to do. Once I put data in the table, I commit it. And then I go and I make a backup of it. So that I don't end up messing it up. Okay. Okay, we're going to look at some other stuff on Thursday. And also I'm going to start you on working with something. And to do this, you've got to create three tables. So we've got about 10 minutes, and I'm going to have you spend the next 10 minutes instead of putting on more information, asking you to go back and create these tables. I want a donor table, and this is the layout I want for the donor table. I want a donation table, and that's the layout for the donation table. I want a drive table, and you've got the layout for the drive table below. And then I showed you the data that I put into these tables. And you don't really have to put in whoever. I think I got a little carried away with some of the data. So you don't have to have quite all of it. But that's some data that you can put in the tables. Okay. Actually, I think I don't think I have all those people. But you can put some people in. So you want to go and create them. For right now, don't worry about this or this. So you're just creating the table with the VeerCare too. We're going to get into how to add keys and how to set up indexes. And so we're going to go in next time and modify the table to put in the keys and the indexes. So for now, don't worry about getting anything under key. Okay, just ignore that part. It will be added in. But go and make a table called donor that has this description. A table called donation that has that description, and a table called drive. And see if you can at least get the descriptions in, even if you don't get the data, get the structures of the tables made.
What's the third table called?
Drive. And if you scroll down, it's the DESC drive. And there's the drive table. And as I said, I've got data in all of them. I think I got a little carried away with the data in the donor table. So, but then we can experiment with using multiple tables and with indexes and with keys. And we will do that next time.
We were given two database names.
Yes.
And the first one already has a table called donor.
Okay, you must have made it, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
Well, you can either, if it's not the same as this, then go into the second one.
Okay.
Or call these donor one, drive one, donation
that's
one.
That's fine, yeah.
That's fine. I just want you to be able to experiment with some stuff, and these three tables are going to be interrelated. Okay, and if we look at how they're going to be interrelated, there they go. The donor table is connected to the donation table by ID. So notice they're both VIA-CARE 5, okay? And the drive number is connected down here. So those are how the tables are going to be interrelated. The donor table is going to connect to the donation table because donors give donations. And the donation table is going to be connected to the drive table because donations are given to particular drives. So right now you're doing three create tables. And then if you want to start adding data, you can look down below and there's data. If when you get to putting the data in, you run into a problem, okay, you've got insert is what you're using. You've also got update, and you've got delete. And we looked at those last two Thursdays ago. But those will allow you to fix up any data, because update will allow you to go in and change any data. And let me go and find those examples. Nope, not that one. Okay, there's the update example.
And I said update test first, set ID number equal to 4 threes because I'd use 5 threes. My name is equal to Robert Brooks. So it changed that one record.
So that's the update. So if you make a mistake, you can go in and fix it with an update. And if you just make too much of a mistake and want to get rid of the record, there's the delete statement that allows you to delete. And what did I just do? There's the delete statement that lets you go in and get rid of a record. Delete from test first where ID equals that. And I got rid of the record. Be very careful with the delete that you use a where clause, because I have done a delete before without a where clause, and it's not fun because it's gone. Okay, that's the other reason for making a backup before you go in. So once you get these created, start putting data into them, and you can use the data that I have. And you got one more minute, so you can leave too.